placed over all other mountains and hills. Many nations shall come and the people shall flow to the house of the God of Jacob, where they can grow.
Greetings, friend, and welcome to Trumpets of Truth International Boot Camp Part 36. And this one's entitled Mountain versus Heaven, and it's by Apostle Jacqueline Fedor. Now, this will be a very short lesson, as there is so much to contemplate on this subject. Let's just say it's some food for thought. Hopefully, religion and tradition do not have too much influence over your life that you may not be able to discern the significance of what we are about to learn. In the Strong's Concordance, the word heaven is number 3772 in the Greek. It tells us this number is the same as 3735. This is a very important fact to note, as much of today's church doctrine is delivered and understood based on the definition chosen by men that translated the Bible. Let me state first that I believe the scriptures were inspired by God himself and written through chosen men, and all in it is true. However, the group of people involved in many translations of the scriptures were in quite a few cases not even godly. Or even if they were godly, the word was translated through the accepted doctrine of the day. God does not lie. The scriptures should not contradict themselves. God has supplied many tools for those that are willing to search for truth. He has placed a burning desire within vessels he uses as revealers to use these tools in an effort to arrive at the truth and therefore the correct meaning of Scripture. One of these tools is the Strong's Concordance with its Greek and Hebrew dictionary. Now, with all of this in mind, let us look at the Strong's and the definitions described concerning the two numbers in question. 3772 in the Greek is the same as 3775, which means the idea of elevation, the sky, and by extension heaven, as the abode of God. By implication, power, eternity, the gospel, air, heavenly, sky. In other words, the other definitions that are given for 3772 could have just as easily been used correctly in place of the word heaven as the Bible was translated. The number could have been translated as power, eternity, gospel, or for air, for instance. So we see 3772 means all these things, not just heaven. Now let us look at the number 3735, remembering that the Strong's told us that they are the same word or interchangeable with each other. And 3735 translates as a mountain, as lifting itself above a plain, a hill, or a mount. Now compare this to 142 that goes to elevation, and 3733 that goes to a domestic bird that rises or elevates itself. Side note, the Strong suggested a hen as the domestic bird, but I think the homing pigeon or dove is more appropriate. Think of the doves released at the Olympics that are held in honor of the god Zeus, keeping in mind Satan counterfeits all that is of God. Now, 3772 versus 3735. 3772, the number that was interpreted from the Greek to the English as heaven, could just as easily have been interpreted mountain from the numbers 3735, as they are the same. As you look in the Strong's, you will see for yourself proof that the number 3772 has been very predominantly the number used for heaven. Either number could have been used, however, and therefore either definition. Now let's think about something. What if the people that translated the Greek to English used whatever definition best suited their doctrine at the time? In other words, if you believed as they may have honestly been taught, that the only abode of God was in the heavens, would you not use 3772? But on the other hand, if you understand from Old Testament what David sang about in Psalm 68:15-16, you may tend to want to use the number 3735. And the scripture says, a mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. See, the valley is Bashan, but Mount Zion rises out of it. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. And verse 16, why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? Now look at this especially. This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. So God dwells in his mountain also. Just some food for thought, because it could make a lot of difference. Now let's look at Revelation 21:2, for instance. It says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now substitute heaven with mountain, and it would read this way. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the mountain of God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Again, the two numbers are interchangeable. Isaiah saw this spiritual mountain at Isaiah 2:2. It's a good thing he did, because we would even be confused today about where God trains the true church or his bride from. See verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah chapter 2. And it says, many people shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations, neither shall they learn war any more. No more curse. Now we read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, that there is no more curse in New Jerusalem, but the throne of God and the Lamb is there. It becomes more understandable and makes more sense. Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I always wondered how there could be, or ever was, a curse in heaven, since this city, according to this translation, came out of heaven. Heaven has no curse in it. It is holy like the God that it belongs to. Psalms 115:16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Only evil can be cursed, and through fallen men curses came on the earth. Even when heavenly creatures fell into sin, they were removed from the heavens and came to earth. They didn't bring curses to heaven. They instead fled to earth, where they taught man to be evil and brought the curses of God on themselves here on this planet. The word of the Lord says, woe to the earth because Satan has come near. But heaven is, was, and always will be pure. It makes much more sense to think that the city of New Jerusalem would be birthed through the spiritual mountain of Zion, who would call her out of the world and teach her God's ways, remembering Isaiah 2:3. We also see proof of this understanding as prophesied in Micah 4:6-8. And it says, in that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast, and those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, and even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, talking about the government of God, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Psalms 125:1-2 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Now here is today's fulfillment of Micah's prophecy as found in the New Testament in Hebrews 12:18 through 23. It says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I am exceedingly afraid and trembling.'" But verse 22, it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." See, Paul was talking to people here on earth. He said that they have come to Mount Zion and heavenly Jerusalem. Now let us look at Revelation 21:2 again to see the contradiction that this present translation creates. Revelation 21:2 says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So in closing, there are many such scriptures that would become much easier to understand and not near as contradictory as if we place the word mountain in place of heaven. Again, this is just food for thought.
Is established over all other mountains and hills. Many nations shall come, and the peoples shall flow to the house of the God of Jacob, where they can Jacob are like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass. They will tarry no more. There shall tearing to pieces and break the enemy, and the hand of the Lord is set against the adversary.
Okay, friend, that wraps up this lecture on mountain versus heaven. As always, I hope you've enjoyed it. If you'd like to know more about us, visit our website at www.trumpetsoftruth.com. And may you be blessed in all that you do, in Jesus' name.